Rick Lloyd, 0515. Is that correct?
This case is a formal restoration hearing concerning the unauthorized placement of concrete blocks and the installation of a metal slide over state-owned submerged bottom, as well as the unauthorized expansion of an existing private non-commercial pier at his property situated along Aquia Creek in Stafford County. I do want to point out to the commission that this case is a restoration hearing and not an after-the-fact request for authorization. His property is located here off Thorny Point Road near Thorny Point. Let's see, this is his home here, his pier, and the blocks that he had installed were in this area here. Again, this project is located on the southwestern side of Aquia Creek near Thorny Point. In July of last summer, Mr. Lloyd began construction of his concrete block retaining wall that was intended to act as a bulkhead. Following a site visit in July, Stafford County Wetlands Board determined that Mr. Lloyd's project had not been authorized by the board and was a violation of the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance. The staff of the Wetlands Board did direct Mr. Lloyd to stop work and submit an after-the-fact application to retain the work that he had already completed, as well as the remaining portion that he intended to complete. VMRC did receive Mr. Lloyd's after-the-fact application number 051395, requesting after-the-fact approval. During a preliminary review by staff, it was determined, or it appeared to be determined, that Mr. Lloyd's project was positioned above mean low water and would not require a VMRC permit. Although that appeared to be the case, we did want to clarify some discrepancies or some lack of detail, I guess, in the drawings, and did request additional information by letter to Mr. Lloyd on July 29th of 2005. Prior to being sent notification of today's hearing, Mr. Lloyd had not responded to our request for that additional information. He did, however, submit some additional information to the Stafford County Wetlands Board prior to their October hearing on his case. During that hearing, the board did decide that they did not have enough information, and they did question the engineering as well as the previous use of similar structures along the coast of Virginia. Notification of the Stafford County Wetlands Board hearing did prompt staff to conduct our own site visit on October 5th, 2005. During our site visit, staff observed a large quantity of concrete blocks. These are the drawings he had submitted in his previous application, and this is what the wall, I guess, is intended to look like when finished. This is what we observed in October. We also not only observed this, the concrete that had been constructed in a wall, but also blocks had been stacked channelward of mean low water over state-owned submerged bottom. Some additional photographs here. And these are the type of blocks similar to what you would see in landscaping or for retaining walls, but on a larger scale. We also observed that Mr. Lloyd's pier, there appeared to be an apparent expansion at the end. You can see here where his boat is, there is some new wood, as well as a metal slide had been placed along the pier. Search of commission records confirmed that Mr. Loy had not previously applied for nor been authorized by the VMRC for the placement of the blocks or the expansion or additions to the pier. Staff issued a sworn complaint, notice to comply, on October 17, 2005. The notice to comply directed Mr. Loy to completely remove all unauthorized structures within 30 days or submit an after-the-fact request to retain the pier expansion and slide as constructed. The alternative to apply after the fact to retain the stacked concrete blocks was not given to Mr. Loy, since it appeared unlikely that the commission would have approved the placement of the blocks in such a haphazard manner. By January of 2006, staff had not yet heard from Mr. Loy concerning the status of his unauthorized structures. On February 7, 2006, staff conducted an aerial inspection of the site and confirmed that all of the unauthorized structures remained in place. On that same day, site visit by the Stafford County Wetlands Board staff further confirmed and documented the presence of the unauthorized structures. Staff was unsuccessful in its attempts to reach Mr. Loy by telephone. We did leave messages, though those were unreturned. On February 24, 2006, staff sent by certified mail a letter to Mr. Loy directing him to appear today for this hearing in front of the commission. The U.S. Postal Service attempted to deliver this letter to Mr. Loy on February 25, 2006, but was not able to obtain a signature. We did check the status of the certified letter approximately 1 week after we had sent it, and then a few days after that again. We still noted that it had not been signed for. So at that time, on March 6, staff did request assistance from VMRC's Law Enforcement Division in physically serving the letter on Mr. Loy. Staff did receive notice from Captain Ray Jewell that a Marine police officer had served the letter to Mr. Loy on March 9, 2006. On March 22nd, just last week, staff received a letter from Mr. Loy, dated March 20th, along with it, with his attempted submission of an after-the-fact application to retain his recent pier expansion. Since his after-the-fact application was submitted to our office only after he had received notification of this restoration hearing, staff has not assigned a VMRC number to the application and is currently treating his submission as additional information to today's hearing. Mr. Loy states in his letter that the metal slide and the approximately one-fifth of the concrete blocks have been removed from the water. He claims that the weather and cold water temperatures have prevented him from removing the remaining block and that he would remove the rest of it once temperatures rise to a tolerable level. Although outside the commission's jurisdiction, he also states that he plans to install a riprap revetment above mean low water in place of the concrete block wall he had previously attempted to install. Mr. Loy's letter, however, did not provide any further insight as to why the work was done without VMRC authorization or address his delay in response to the directives of our October 17, 2005 notice to comply. Let me quickly go through a few more slides here. This is another shot here of the slide going into the water. And this is the expansion here of this pier at the end there. This is a 2000 aerial photograph that was provided to us by Stafford County. And you can see in 2000, the pier was a simple main stem with the T-head at the end. And then in 2002, there was another expansion of a larger platform off the side of the T-head, as well as the catwalk, which in this photograph appears to be scaled off in our GIS at about 3 feet wide. Today it's more at 8 feet, we believe. This was additional information that was submitted to the Wetland Board, but was not submitted to VMRC. The board did provide these drawings to us, and this was a drawing showing the alignment of the block wall he was proposing, and it was showing the shape of his pier as it exists today. These are some approximate dimensions of the pier, and just to show you here, this portion shown in green existed, we believe, prior to 2000, and that the portions in orange were constructed somewhere between 2000 and 2002. And then the portions in yellow are the recent work that has been done. The total square footage of the decking approximately is over 1,600 square feet. These photographs were taken on February 7th, just last month, to confirm that the unauthorized structure still did remain on the property. You can see the block pier still out in the water. The slide still remains, as well as the expansion out here of the pier. This is the information we received last week from Mr. Loy. This photograph shows he's pulled the slide out of the water, though, at least in this photograph, it still does show it on the pier. This would need to be moved on to the upland if it has not already been done so. This was another drawing that was submitted in that information last week. This appears to have been a drawing, possibly a proposal given to him prior to construction, because we do note that there is a discrepancy here with the shape of the decking here that's shown as a simple triangle, again, on this drawing as well. Though in this photograph he submitted himself, it does show that it does have two separate angles and it's not a straight triangle. So we are unsure of the exact dimensions of that portion there. And now for our summary and recommendation. Staff has given Mr. Loy ample time and opportunity to comply with the directives in our October 17, 2005 notice to comply. Prior to notifying Mr. Loy of this restoration hearing, staff has no record that Mr. Loy even attempted to contact our office to discuss his violations or request additional information or request additional time in which to come into compliance. In the opinion of staff, Mr. Loy, through his lack of action, has chosen to disregard the directives in the notice to comply. Furthermore, the Stafford County Wetlands Board informed commission staff that Mr. Loy is in the development business in the Stafford County area. As such, he is well aware of the need to obtain permits before beginning any type of construction activity. Accordingly, staff recommends the commission order Mr. Loy to completely remove within 30 days all unauthorized structures detailed in the October 17, 2005 notice to comply. If the commission feels inclined to allow Mr. Loy to keep all or portions of his recent pier expansion, we would recommend the commission direct staff to accept Mr. Loy's March 22, 2006 after the fact request to retain his pier expansion. Following a public interest review, this matter will be brought back before the commission for consideration. Unless all violations are completely removed, staff recommends the commission also consider an appropriate civil charge for Mr. Loy based upon minimal environmental impact, but a major degree of noncompliance. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. I do believe that Mr. Loy and his lawyer were planning to attend today. I do not have any violation or any protest from anybody.
Any questions?
So you're recommending the 8-foot wide finger pier stay as it is, and the excessive.
It appears that those portions were constructed prior to July of 2003, when the private pier exemption was quite different. So we don't believe that we could ask for that to be changed.
But the part around the boat, that's more recent.
That we believe is more recent. In fact, when I conducted my initial site visit, it did appear to have been new construction. There did appear to be a floating platform that a contractor likely would have been using to do the work, and there were several pieces of lumber that looked like they were left over that were stacked up on top of a table there. So it looked like it was something that had been done within somewhat recently when we found this in October.
Could you put your finger on where that new line is? I guess it's right there where the bow of the new boat comes. Right.
Approximately right everything from here over.
Okay. All right. Any more questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, Mr. Robinson.
Now, as I understand the second paragraph of your recommendation, you're saying that we would have to go through through a public interest review and the matter would come back to us. Is that to approve the pier? Or
it would be to approve the pier if the commission, you know, is willing to allow him to apply after the fact for that
pier retention.
Pier expansion.
So that's a separate.
It would be a separate case separate because this is today only a restoration hearing and not an after the fact request for authorization.
Right. And can you tell us what the status today of the block wall is?
As far as I know, I have not been out there since February 7th, or I'm sorry, it was a week after that I had gone out for another visit. Mr. Lloyd does claim in his letter that he's removed one-fifth, I believe, of the block. We have not verified that, but we have no reason to believe that he hasn't. So.
Thank you.
One additional question.
Yes, sir.
So the peer review is also talking about that last part of the extension of the dock. I mean the restoration review.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Any more questions there? Thank you. Mr. Lower President.
Gentlemen, my name is John Hutt. I'm Mr. Lloyd's counsel.
You don't need to be sworn in if you're counsel.
Okay.
If Mr. Lloyd is going to testify, he'll need to be sworn in.
Swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, sir, if you got it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. In order to structure what we're about to go through, I'd like to take an opportunity to address several issues that have been brought to the Commission's attention. And taking them in the order of least importance, we'll start off with the slide. First of all, that's a metal object which has never been attached to the pier. It's something that can be put in and taken out as needed for the children to play with. We were sent a picture showing it sitting across the pier. I can represent, and Mr. Lloyd will support this, that is no longer on the pier. It is up on the ground, theoretically to be used at a later date and on an occasional basis. All right. Number two, that pier is a community pier. It is not solely owned and controlled by Mr. Lloyd. There are at least four families that have rights in that particular pier. So with regard to the other construction on it, any addition since it was originally created, I have no personal knowledge who was responsible for any of that. And I know of no knowledge as to whether or not any permits were applied for or gotten for that particular work. I will tell you that Mr. Lloyd did build the boat structure that is new, and it was done in the spring of 2005, and it was admittedly done without a permit, a serious mistake. Unfortunately, it has been done, and it's now something we must decide what to do with. As far as the work along the shoreline is concerned, you've seen a picture, and I can't reproduce it, but you've seen a picture of what was there. The protective material along the front of that particular lot has been there for probably 25 or 30 years, long time before Mr. Loy actually purchased this property for himself. And as you can see, it was done perhaps in a haphazard manner by the prior owners. It's in desperate need of repair to avoid possibilities of future erosion. Mr. Loy's original objective was to put in a structure that would be a seawall. He prefers that, or did prefer that, to the concept of a riprap revetment because he has, to put it to you bluntly, he doesn't think that they're attractive, that they harbor snakes and other things. He has small children. He wanted something that was substantial, that would take care of high water problems and wave action, and he elected to construct, as you have been told, a block wall above the high water line, which did not require a permit from this particular commission. The block that you see were the materials that he chose, and the pictures that you have seen show him in the process of personally attempting to build that wall. Any block that was below the high water line sitting in the water had been placed there as a part of the construction process that he himself was going to take care of. They were not on any type of a foundation. They had simply been placed there so that a man could work with that block turn around and put it on a foundation and a wall above the high water line. He was utilizing employees in his company to do this particular work, and at the time that he was requested to stop work, he did in fact stop work, and he instructed his employees to remove the material that was there. It was getting late in the season, the water temperature was dropping, and these poor souls were literally turning blue. He got as much out as he could before he simply had to stop the work and wait for better weather conditions. I don't think you would want him coming down there with any type of heavy equipment and reaching over there and picking up block that's just sitting in the water. That weather situation to this date has not changed. The weather hasn't begun to warm up enough. The letters that came in, the notice and the requirement that he perform certain things within 30 days, admittedly, was not done. But we were going into a winter period where the work could not be done. And we would ask that you give due consideration to those circumstances in any of your resolution here. All right. Now, Mr. Lloyd would like to make his own presentation. Of course, he is available for questions.
My name is Rick Loy. I live at 260 Thorny Point. The blocks and the wall was never intended to be in the wetlands. The original drawings, although, as Mr. McGinnis said, apparently were not detailed enough to show that the wall, the base of the wall, was above mean high tide. I've had many conversations with Stafford County, basically one of them extensively with Mike Zaraff. He informed me that if I put the wall where I said I was going to put it, I did not need a permit. All he needed to do was see the drawings, and he would submit, give me a letter stating that no permit was required. When he, and I asked him how long that would take, he said 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have it done. And when he said that, I took it upon myself to put those blocks in the water, thinking 2 to 3 weeks from now, I'll have my permit, and I can build this wall, or letter stating I don't need a permit, and I can build this wall inland of the high water mark. That led from one thing to another, and it just got into fall. At fall, I heard that the blocks needed to be removed. We started removing the blocks, and it was just the water was too cold, the winds was too high, we're just freezing, so we stopped doing that. As far as building the dock with my boat and boat lift on there, I did that without a permit, and whatever your board decides to do with me, that's what I'll have to do. If you've got any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them for you.
Any questions, Mr. Lloyd?
Yes, sir, Mr. Schick.
Why did you not respond to letters from the VMRC staff?
The only letter
weather wasn't a problem there as far as telling the staff that, you know, you would be removing those as soon as the weather, you know, gets better.
The only letter I'd received was one in when he had given to me, I guess it was in October or November, to remove the blocks. Mm-hmm. And I did, we started and stopped. I didn't get it. I didn't think to send a letter or even make a phone call saying, I got your letter and I'm working on it, which is my ignorance. When I got the other stuff just back early spring or late winter that I was coming down here, again, we contacted him that we are going to remove them. We're just waiting for weather to break so they can be removed. But they've never been installed. They were never intentionally put there as a permanent structure. It was, and I would have never put them there had I known it was going to take months and months for the Stafford County and the other issues to happen for me to build the wall outside of the high wetlands. Now, there is one section that he showed a photo in there where somebody had attempted to build a wall probably 2 to 3 feet or more towards the water, and it literally was cement and concrete. I did not authorize that. Somebody had done that without my authorization. I told them to stop immediately. I pointed that out to the county, Stafford County, when they did it. They told me not to remove it until after this has been resolved because I'm going to cause and in my letter, it's actually, I called it a mess because I didn't know how else to describe it. But they told me not to remove it until this matter was resolved and a new application was taken care of or accepted. So I've not touched it, but it needs to have something done with it.
So you don't recollect any phone call messages left at your phone number to respond?
if he called my home number, I don't know. If he called my cell phone, I'd get it, but my home number, I don't know.
Mr. Fox?
Mr. Loy, what is your mailing address?
260 Thorny Point Road, Stafford.
Okay. 22554?
Yes, sir.
That's the address to which the letters were sent.
I received the letter, but like I said, I didn't think to call to say I received your letter.
Looks like there were numerous letters.
I received
anyway
two letters.
Would you want to hear what did you hear staff's report on February 26th? Staff sent by certified mail directing him to appear before the commission March 28th. The U.S. Postal Service attempted to deliver the letter to Mr. Loy on February 25th, but had no notice on March the 1st. Again, on March the 6th, staff texted status of the letter with USPS, no notice. Consequently, staff requested a VMAC Law Enforcement Division physically serve the letter on Mr. Loy.
I heard him say that, yes, sir, and I was on a two-week vacation at the end of February.
You were on 2 weeks, you were going away. Okay. And Mr. Jewell, Captain Jewell, came and certified.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
Any more questions? Information? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I think it was stated in the presentation there were no objections to this work. Is that right?
I have one question for Ben. Is this pier in Mr. Loy's name, or is this a multi?
I was not aware of their claim that it's a community pier. I did speak previously with a owner that told me that there was an easement that ran down this side of the property here, and that there previously had been a boat ramp in this location that was, I guess, for community use. Though we don't seem to have a record of that either, but. He told me that Mr. Loy had removed the ramp and had backfilled this area here with sand to kind of create a beach area, and that while he wasn't concerned over it right now because he wasn't using the ramp, or he hadn't been using the ramp, but there was no mention to me that I recall of this being a community pier. Because
that takes a VMRC permit also.
Absolutely, and I believe that... that we would have to resolve that if the commission were to allow him to apply after the fact. But whether or not you do, I guess we would still have to look into it because we don't have any record of any pier on this property.
That answered my question. You have no record of, I mean, you would have known if there had been a community pier on this property.
The only record of any application I could find previously on this property was a previous property owner had applied for riprap and some groins. But there's no mention of a pier in our database or in our records that I could find.
Sir, this is a plat of Mr. Loy's property, and it shows a 20-foot access easement from the street down to where the ramp was located, which includes the use of the pier. If I could show this to you, gentlemen.
Submit this as part of the record.
Well, they're doing it. I'd like to ask Mr. Laura a question if you'd come forward again, sir. Did you make, when you put this additional pier work in recently, did you make any application to anybody for that work?
No, sir. That drawing that you have in front of you is in Mr. McGinnis's package. It's been in all the packages. Mm-hmm. And each of the other properties or property owners, it's in their deed that they have legal access across the property and access to the dock.
On Mr. Crittenden and Mr. Sullivan, I assume you got their permission to build that boat slip out that you're using? If you say they're part owners.
No, I didn't say they were part owners.
Okay.
I said that it was community dock. They have access.
Access, okay.
Yes, sir.
But you didn't apply to anybody to build that?
No, sir.
Nobody. I mean, did you have any thoughts about that? Why you... Should or shouldn't? Or?
Well, I don't want to. I guess I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Incriminate yourself. Thank
well, and not in. No, it's not that I don't want to incriminate myself. I'm incriminated. I'm here before you to ask for your forgiveness, but I don't want to incriminate the neighbors and everybody else along the creek. So I will.
Yeah, I understand. But I mean, you just didn't think or didn't do. Didn't, I mean, everybody needs a permit. You overstayed on water. It wasn't your land underneath it. I just curious to see what you're thinking.
Well, I guess it's if you see others doing it, you do it yourself, and that's
okay. That's a good excuse. Thank you.
I guess a quiet creek has a lawless nature when it comes to construction.
I'm sorry?
A quiet creek has a lawless nature when it comes to construction over the state-owned bottom.
Honestly, I did not know until after the fact that it was a state-owned bottom. I mean, I guess ignorance is no excuse, but I did not realize that.
I can appreciate it, Mr. Law. I would have the same. If I didn't know better, I would have the same thing. I'm from North Carolina, and I wouldn't. When I first came to Virginia, I thought, you know, the state's still on the land.
And honestly, and I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but to me, if the state owns the bottom and I set 21 10-inch piers, that's how much land I put on the state's property, not the amount of the dock, because the dock's above the water 3 foot. But like I said, I'm here at your mercy to whatever it is your decision is.
Thank you, sir. I think we've heard all discussion of the matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Seems to me there are three items that have been identified by staff for at least for removal back in the notice to comply that was issued in October, and that would be the additions to the dock, the slide, and the concrete blocks. And quite frankly, my thoughts on the slide are that that's a portable device that strikes me as a de minimis item. I'm not too concerned about that, but moving on to the blocks, I think it would be appropriate to order removal of the concrete blocks within 30 days, as staff recommends here. And it seems to me that if we're going to consider the pier expansion, based on what staff said, that we need to have another hearing to do that. In other words, a public interest review, and then consider the additions to the pier. So as I understand staff's recommendation, we need to have a separate action to consider the pier. But I think it would be appropriate to order removal of the concrete block. Bob, can you clarify that?
Well, as far as the pier, if in fact it's a community pier, most of what Ben had gone through was under the presumption that it was a private pier that was constructed in accordance with the law. If it's a community pier, I think we have to basically run an advertisement for even those portions which may have been constructed prior to 2003.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the whole thing.
Did I misunderstand that? Mr. Lawrence said the community could use the pier, but it's his pier. He owns it. That's just what he said is correct. But the community has use of it, so it's not a community pier.
Our position would be that if you have a private non-commercial pier, you can't make it into a community or a commercial structure for fee or otherwise. If this is a community pier, the commission would have to permit and authorize it as a community pier for, you know, for houses or, you know, nearby dwellings or whatever else. It would not qualify for the exemption.
Mr. Lawrence stated it's his pier. Is that correct, Mr. Robbins? I don't know what you were getting at, but
yes, sir. I did hear it to be his pier, but it seems to me that we still need to go through another public hearing to hear the pier side of it based on staff's recommendation. In other words, today I think we would order removal of the concrete block material. I think that would be appropriate. And since that's going to be removed, we wouldn't impose a civil charge at this time, but then we would hear the pier at a later date.
Yeah, a multi-family use is different than multi-owned. Yeah. So if it's a multi-family use only owned by one person, it's a different permit procedure. Is that my understanding? I know we don't have multifamily use as a term, but
the commission has historically taken the position that if it's other than for a single family unit, it's a community pier. And you could put one on the property line between two neighbors, and you could agree to build one pier to service both lots. It's viewed as a community structure, not an exemption. It also is not in its entirety within the riparian area of either lot, so it wouldn't qualify on that basis. But yes, if we look at a community structure serving more than one household, we view those as requiring permits, not qualifying for the exemption provided by code.
So in this case, yes, if the commission wanted to do it, we would have to advertise for the retention and change in use from what we had perceived to be a private pier to a community structure to serve four up the lots or whatever it is that it's designed to service.
And that would take a whole new process and rehearing.
We'd have to run that. It would not be a question of some portions thereof are exempt because they were built before the law was changed. The entire thing would be require a permit, albeit some of it's been there for 5 years if it was run by 2002. Okay.
You got to follow to the microphone, please.
Excuse me. It might be worthy to note at this particular point that Mr. Loy, in reviewing recommendations from a number of different agencies, has come to the conclusion that a seawall, per se, is probably not the best structure to put there. He's leaning very heavily towards the concept of a riprap revetment, which is going to require appropriate applications to Stafford County in order to receive permission to install such a thing.
And this commission.
And this particular commission. That is correct. And he's doing so on advice of other people as well as myself. I see a riprap revetment as a more calming type of protective structure than a seawall. It has a tendency to break up wave action rather than to reflect it. And that is his current intention. There will be no solid walls there. That's what it boils down to.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins, do you want to make a motion?
Indeed, Mr. Chairman. Based on the testimony we've heard today, consistent with staff recommendation, I would move that we order removal of the existing concrete blocks as stipulated in the letter, or as identified in the letter of October 17, within a 30-day period. And furthermore, that we require, if the applicant wishes to keep the pier, that we require an application for after-the-fact permit of the pier.
Yes, second.
Second.
Second. Let's check. Any discussion of the motion? All right. You read the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Welcome, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. I appreciate the fine job you've done, and I really mean that. Thank you very much.